वृंदावनेश्वरी स्वामी जी राधारानी की जय। हरे कृष्णा। वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सगृजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सद्वैतं सवदूतं भृजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपरं सहगना ललित श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्ण कृष्ण सिंधु दीनबंध जगत्पते गोपेश गोपीक कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। नमो विष्णुपराय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनित्य नामने श्रीवर्ष भानवि देवी दयतया कृपाब्धये कृष्ण संबंध विज्ञान दायने प्रभवे नमः। नमो भक्ति विनोदाय सच्चिदानंद नामने गौरशक्ति स्वरूपाय रूपानुगवराय ते वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय जय हरि नाम चिरानन्दामृत धाम परतत्व अक्षर आकार निज जने कृपाकारी नाम रूप अवतारे जीव दया करे लय अपार। हे चाय गोसाय कौरी चानन वंदन यहो होते विघ्न अविष्ट पुराण श्री रूप श्री सनातन श्री भट्ट रघुनाथ श्री जीवा गोपाल भट्ट दास रघुनाथ श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासुदेव गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। श्री भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर की जय। श्री भजन रहस्यम की जय। श्री कार्तिकी देवी श्रीमती राधारानी की जय। एवरीवन सिटिंग देयर्स मोर डिवोटीज प्रकाश यू कम अप हियर वी जस्ट नीड अ थिन फॉर द कैमरा यू जस्ट नीड अ थिन पीपल कैन बी हियर टू राइट। Bring it closer. I don't like it so close, but can't someone sit right here?
Why don't you sit and then I'll try to adjust it?
Yeah, because we. It's like that. So we're continuing with the introduction. Because the title of this book is Bhajan Rahasya, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it was his wish that, and his father's wish, that this book would be studied during the month of Kartik. Of course, actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wish is that this Bhajan manual would be utilized every day of our lives. As we read yesterday, that we should read each of the verses, there's eight, the Shikshastakam is there, and each of the verses of Shikshastakam, we should read, and all the accompanying verses. In other words, we should read this book every day, this whole book every day, all the verses, meditate on them, and chant the holy name at the same time. That was the will of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. May not always be practical for everyone. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he set aside 1 month, Kartik month, to absorb all of his disciples and all of his temples in the Bhajan Rahasyam, system of Bhajan. So, we want to, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in his introduction, he describes what is the difference between Bhajan and Archan. Because often we hear people, they say, what are you doing? You're not doing book distribution. You're not making money or making life members or whatever things go on, various types of bhakti. I'm doing bhajan. something, it's almost for some of us, maybe a new term, new phrase. I'm doing bhajan. And if you're Indian, someone might say, are you doing, you said bhajan? You're doing bhajan? And bhajan, for the Indian folks, bhajan means eating. Everyone's doing that. But it's no, bhajan, bhajate, bhajate, bhajan, worshipping, serving Krishna and Radha, Radha and Krishna, seva. So this is, honestly speaking, when we joined ISKCON and were initiated 30 years ago, can you make some room for Dhanadhar Maharaj and get a, put an asan there? Pujipad Srila Dhanadhara Maharaj ki
jai.
Get an asan, Maharaj. No problem. We're just starting, actually. 1 minute is left. No problem. Yeah. We have to change our prasad. We eat it too. We're going to move it up to 1:30.
Okay.
Because this is the prasadam hall, the lecture hall.
Okay.
Welcome. Swagatam. We're mentioning, we're continuing the introduction, and hopefully we can begin with verse 1 today in Chaita Darpana Marjanam, Nishant Kala, Nishant Lila. When we first joined ISKCON 30 years ago, we never heard of this idea. Are you doing bhajan? This was something that we heard when we came to India in 1987. We would meet some sadhus, and they would meet us, instead of saying how is your health or how is your family, the Prabhupada gives on his tape when Ramachandra, who was it, Dasarath, the father of Ramachandra, when he met one rishi, I think it was Vasishtha Muni,
yeah.
He was the Kula Guru for the dynasty of Dasarath Sutta. And then Prabhupada is explaining how that there was an appropriate line of questions, because Vasishtha Muni, he asked Dasarath, he said, how is your kingdom, how is your praja, how are the people, and everything going on peacefully, nicely. And then, which was the appropriate question to ask the king. And then the king, Dasarath, he returned the question by asking the sage, Vasishtha Muni, punar janma vijayate, O rishi, O saintly person, are you becoming vijayate, are you becoming successful in your attempt to conquer over repeated birth? I believe this is the what Prabhupada is saying. Punar janma. So this is the appropriate question to ask a spiritualist. You can sit somewhere. Why do you sit over here?
I'm fine now.
No, but I'm not fine. You come here and sit here. There's a space right here. A nice wall, a pole you can lean and relax. He's a long fellow. His name is Prasad, so we want to have Prasad. So had to make him happy. So, punarjanma vijayate. So when we meet some great saints in India, then they would inquire not about our financial position or about our health, but they would say, how is your bhajan? And then we would, of course, laugh at that question. And then, and in the beginning, we would say, what's bhajan? I know I'm doing some kind of thing with my fingers every morning, some finger exercise. I'm going like this. I'm trying to learn how to snap my fingers or something. But japa and some reading and hearing Bhagavatam class and some attempt at Guru Seva. But this was a question, what is bhajan? So the book is Bhajan Rahasyam. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he addresses this question in the introduction. Rather, excuse me, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. What is bhajan? And what is, because what we may think we're doing as bhajan, according to the viewpoint of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, is actually archan. And archan, as you know, is one of the Navada Bhakti, the nine limbs of devotion.
Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Then?
Parasevanam.
Archanam and Vandanam, right? Because puja and prayers, they go together. Right? Puja is some dravya and some substances accompanied with prayers. Everything is joined with prayers. And Jiva Goswami explains that whatever we do, whatever we offer to Krishna, whatever puja, whatever we do, it must be linked with mantra, maha mantra. This is the, without that, he's explaining in Sandarbhas, without the addition of maha mantra, whatever we're doing, it will be dravya dosh. There'll be some dosh, some difficulty or fault in our activity. But by coating everything and dipping everything in our puja and our whatever we do, it must be wrapped and packaged, you can say, like, as a gift package. It must be packaged and surrounded with the holy name of Krishna. Formerly, before this Kali Yuga and the advent of Mahaprabhu, people, Vaishnavas, devotees of Vishnu, Narayan and Krishna, they would do puja. And they would simply chant bija mantras, kling, aing, shing, and then the appropriate mantra for offering that dravya or substance. Let's say, Esha Dupo, Kling Krishnaya Namaha. And they would offer dupe, agrabati, incense, they would offer. And there was no Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It was simply the bija mantra for that particular deity or devata, and the appropriate mantra for the dravya, for the substance. Esha Dupa, Idam Navedyam, all these mantras. That was sufficient in other yugas, but in Kali Yuga, there's so much fault, and it's, even after one does puja, there are mantras to be forgiven, and one of them is Mantrahinam, Kriyahinam, Bhaktihinam, Janardana, Yat Pujitam Maya Devam, Paripuram Tadastume. Mantravinam, Kriyavinam, I don't know the proper process. My kriya, my actions are, they're without the proper understanding. Mantra hinam kriya, without the even this worship, without the proper mantra, without the proper rule or regulation, still, please, my dear Lord, please accept that. Mantra hinam, kriya hinam, bhakti hinam, it's even bhakti hinam, it's even without devotion. Please forgive me. This is a mantra to be forgiven for one's offenses and seva, and puja seva. So Jiva Goswami, recognizing the faultiness of this Kaler Dosha Nadei Rajan, this age of Kali is an ocean of faults. Kaler Dosha is dosh. So dosh means dravya dosh. Difficulty with the objects of puja. So one of the main objects in puja of Krishna is ghee. Ghee for bathing, ghee for artik, for deepam, and for kanda deep, and massaging Lord's body with ghee. This is dravya, substance. But in the Kali Yuga, where can you get pure ghee? Ghee means from the cow. But all the, practically 90% of the ghee that's being used in puja and archan is from the buffalo or goat or whatever. So this is called dravya dosh, kaler dosha nidhe rajan. So there's an ocean of dosh in this Kali Yuga. So Jiva Goswami, recognizing and understanding all that, he's telling, now when you're doing puja or archan, it must be joined, it must be packaged with Hare Krishna, right? Esha Dupo, streaming clean, Hare Krishna, Bhyam Namama, Hare Krishna, 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 like this. And then that Hare Krishna will take away all the dosh. Oh, it's buffalo ghee anyway, Hare Krishna. We tried to get cow's ghee, we can't find it. It doesn't exist. In the land of Dharma, in this Bharat Bhumi, Punya Bhumi, cow's ghee is a rare thing. There are literally millions of people in this country that have never seen cow's ghee. They never smelled it, what to speak of tasted. That's unbelievable. Because all of us, we're quite stout and strong, all of the Western devotees here, because we had plenty of mother's milk and cow's milk and like this. So, this is difficulty. So this is a very important part. So we're doing archan, and we might think this is bhajan. So this is it's a little bit of a subtle point to know the difference between archan and bhajan. And we'll try to present the summary of what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is telling. So what is bhajan? The bhajan rahasyam teaches the secrets, rahasya, of internal bhajan. Is all the devotional service we do, is it bhajan? To practice devotional service on the external platform with the mind, body and senses is quite easy. The external what are the external practices? There's nitya kriya, rising early and cleaning, etc. These are part of the angas of yoga, any yoga practice. So these are external practices. Rising early, bathing in cold water, clean cloth, attending Mangala Arati, doing austerities, observing Nirjali Kadasi, decorating the deity with long, long malas like this. I don't have any strength to hold it anymore. The Lord's mercy is too heavy. Qualification isn't too less on my side. So, offering the deity very long and beautiful garlands, fancy mukut and jewelry, and beautiful bright lights, and elaborate, or even now they have these blinking lights in Radhakund and the different temples, they have these blinking lights, and it's rather, I think the word maybe is glitz or something like that in English. It's quite, anyway, they think it's nice. And elaborate ornaments and gold and silver and all kinds of paraphernalia. So we think, oh, he's doing very good worship. He's doing very good puja. But according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all these activities are very easy. It's easy to do Nirjali Kadasi. It's easy to offer big garlands and do all this. It's very easy compared to the method of bhajan taught by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhajan Rahasyam. Why? Because Bhajan Rahasyam teaches internal bhajan, how to do bhajan with the heart and the mind. Where these activities we described, they may be bhajan, but generally they fall in the category of archan, because they are, let's say, our penetration with our being with those activities, it stops at the level of body and senses. The mind, what to speak of the atma, are not really mixed or involved so much in those activities. So he goes on to develop this theme. Many look at the bhajan rahasyam and they can't understand it or figure it out. And I hope that after these classes we won't be in that category. Why is the bhajan rahasyam so difficult? As he's saying, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, without Vaishnav Kripa, the mercy of devotees, we cannot actually begin bhajan. The pastimes of Gauranga and Radha and Krishna will not enter our heart. We will get no realizations of our eternal identity and will not feel a thick relationship with Radha and Krishna without the mercy of the Vaishnavas. It's easy to practice the externals of devotion, the outward display of bhakti. Outward display. Oh, nice dhoti, cloth, tilak, neck beads, very nice neck beads. These are some outward signs and even the practices. So many people were sitting chanting japa. But as we know, the big complaint is how to control the mind, what to do with the mind. But where does the actual mood come from? Does Manjari Bhav come from doing austerities? Manjari Bhav comes from the heart of the Vaishnava via Sadhu Sangha. It is reflected in the heart. The mood of being a Palyadasi means a protected maidservant or an intimate servant of Srimati Radharani. It comes by reflection, just as a crystal reflects the color of the object beside it. If you have a crystal and you have some object near it, then the red object or whatever color will be reflected or seen in the facets of that crystal. So by being with advanced devotees, advanced Vaishnavas, in a mood of submission and a mood of eagerness, utkanti, ukantita, eagerness and submission and sincerity and honesty, then some of their heart will reflect into ours. It's something like if you have some mirror, darpan, mirror, and you go outside, you go out into the sunshine, someone stands out there, and the sun, they catch the rays of the sun in the mirror, and then they angle it in a certain way, and we're sitting here in the darkness, or in the shade, and that sunshine will be reflected from that mirror into onto our face, and our face will become illuminated in that sunshine, even though we're in the shade. So the heart of the Vaishnava, the heart of the pure devotee, or advanced Bhava Bhakta, or advanced devotee, his heart is like a mirror, and this is the analogy that Mahaprabhu uses in the first verse of Shikshastakam. Chit Darpan, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. The mirror, the Darpan, mirror of his consciousness of heart is pure. So, if he positions himself, because of his surrender and his own surrender and sincerity and eagerness, he has positioned himself in such a way, his heart has become so pure that is the mirror of his heart has become clean. So now the rays of Bhav, the rays of intense attachment for Radha and Krishna, those rays, those sun rays of prema, are coming from the spiritual world and they're hitting his heart, the mirror of his heart. So, you know, just imagine there's some mirror and then the pure devotee is receiving these rays of prema, called Prem Kiran. And then, oh, you've come to hear some Harikatha? I mean, doesn't apply in this situation, but when you're with some advanced devotee, his heart is like this, and he's saying, oh, you've come with sincerity, with your heart in your hands, and submission, with your heart submissively offered in your hands, and your head bowed in humility, and your mind is beating with eagerness. Oh, then let me shine my love light on you. There was some song like that when I was a teenager. Let me shine my love light on you. So that's exactly what's happening with the pure devotee. The Cheto Darpana Marjanam, the Chit Darpan. From the lotus feet of Radharani, right? From her lotus feet. Aparasiddhi Riddhi Digda Sat Padangali Nake. Sat Padangali Nake. Her nake, the anguli nake, the nails on Radharani's feet, they're all prema siddhi is emanating there, just the rays. So the prema kiran, the rays of prema are coming from the lotus feet of Radharani and her expansions, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari. So when we sit with the pure devotees, they're receiving the communication. These rays are shining on the mirror of their heart and they're saying, oh, you've come? Okay. Like this. And then that Bhava Bhakti and then shines on the heart and we feel, my heart has become warm. I feel warm with some feelings of warmth, some feelings of encouragement, some feelings of hope, some actual feelings for Krishna are starting to dance in my heart. Something. How is this happening? It's something very strange. I can't perceive. Everything I'm doing is the same. I'm chanting and sleeping when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. And I'm eating too much, and I'm sleeping too much. I'm doing the same thing. But somehow, it must be from that saintly person that I'm seeing every evening. That's what's caused the change of heart. Reflection. So therefore, the Acharyas are saying that the advanced devotees, their prema, their attachment, their sincerity, their mood of bhakti and love and bhava for Radha and Krishna reflects onto the hearts of the devotees in the context of sadhu sangha. This is the philosophy. And many of us have had the opportunity to actually sit in the association of advanced devotees. So how does the mood of bhava, gopi bhava, Manjari Bhav, enter our hearts? So this point will be discussed a little bit, or a lot actually, in Bhajan Rahasyam, by something called Mamata. And this is the second verse of this first section, or the second verse of the book. We'll discuss this principle of Mamata. In Hindi you say Mamta, I believe. Mamta. Me, Mam, means minus. One Acharya, he said, don't be minus my-ness. In English, minus means vina, I think so, vina, without. Minus means possession, the feeling of possession. This is my body. This is my wife. This is my husband. This is my car. This is my computer. This is my camera. This is my MP3 player. Right? Hands off. So this is, we're all very much aware of this. Janasya mohoya mahamma meti. This is because of being in this world, whatever particular gender we are in, then we are engendered with this particular facility known as illusion, which manifests as the mood of possession. Because being in a gender, we are engendered, or we have the acquired nature. There's a verse that explains this. Janasya moho yamaham. What's the beginning of that? That's Pumsastriya Matuni. Is that the one? Janasya moho yamaham amaiti. So because of sex attraction, because we have a gender, means a sex, you know, male, female, then we have this inborn quality of possessiveness. So, everything, in other words, that's what Prabhupada always said. He said everything's good when it's connected with Krishna. Attachment is good if you're attached to Krishna. The feeling of possessiveness is good if it's for Guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna, Gauranga. So Prabhupada said, just Krishna eyes everything. Put everything in the fire of bhakti and turn all the iron into fire. Turn all of our material attachments and connections and associations and feelings and aspirations. Connect with Krishna and Guru. So this is an extremely important concept. We sing the song Jayanil Primadan, and Narottam Das Thakur, he uses this more Kaviraj, more Bhatta Yugana. You know, he says this word Mora in Bengali. Mora means mine. He's saying, where is my Krishnadas Kaviraj? He could say in English or in Bengali, he could say Krishnadas Kaviraj Kaha. I don't know if that's Bengali, but that's in, I think, Hindi. But where? Or Kotai. Bengali is Kotai. Kotai, was it Prema Mayi Kotai, was it? Kotai. Kotai. Kotai go Prema Mayi, Radhe Radhe. Right? Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He was wandering for 30 years in Varsana. Kotai go Prema Mayi, Radhe Radhe. Ashtashaki Shiromani, Radhe Radhe. Right? Kanu Mano Mohini, Radhe Radhe. Where is that Kanu? That Mano Mohini, he's bewildered. My mind. This is Radharani's song. I guess you can say it's his mood. Gaurakishore Das, his mind is bewildered by the beauty of Kanu. Kotai go Prema Mahi. Where is that Prema Mahi? Kotai. So, he's saying, where is my? Narottam Das is saying, where is my Rupa Goswami? Where is my Krishnadas Kaviraj? They've all gone off with that golden dancer. They've all gone off with Gaur Nataraj to dance in his Leela. Maybe they're dancing in another universe. Or maybe they've gone to Nityanavadvi to retract the mercy and simply absorb themselves in the Prenam Sankirtan and Shiva Sangam. Where are they? I'm beating my head against the rock. Where are you? My Rupa Goswami. Our god sister Mula Prakriti published a beautiful collection of memories and memoirs of Prabhupada. She called it our Srila Prabhupada. So that's mamata, possession, because there are many Prabhupadas in India. It's a title for a guru. There are many Prabhupadas. There's Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. You can see written in etched in samadhis, it says Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Rupa Goswami is also Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is also Prabhupada, and so many great gurus and acharyas are Prabhupada. But we have our Prabhupada. So this is the idea of mamata, possession. So just we say, oh, is this your Govardhan Srila? Yes, this is my Govardhan Srila. Oh, but you're worshipping something different. No, this is my way of worship. Oh, I don't do like that. Anyway, that's your Govardhan Srila. This is my Govardhan Srila. Sometimes you hear in the association audience, oh, this is your Gaurani Thai, but you have peacock feather and Gauranga and what is something. Oh, this
You do your way, I do my way. This is my Gauranga. My Gauranga is in Nagari Bhav or whatever. This is your mood. So this is good. This is good. But we have to stretch it, take it further. My Guru. Sometimes I often use this phrase amongst Vaishnavas. I say, listen, please, don't fight over details. Harmonize over principles. This is a phrase that came out of my mind. It is a so-called original, but nothing's original. Let's say the author is a super soul or whatever. But don't fight over details. Harmonize over principles. What's the example? You meet one devotee. Oh, you were initiated by so-and-so. Wow, that's very good, very fortunate. Well, my guru said, if you don't chant 64 rounds, you're nothing. Acha. Well, how many rounds do you chant? Oh, I only chant 16 rounds. So then the fight starts. Oh, but you know, you should chant 64. So you're fighting over detail. But not, Prabhupada discusses this, the nectar of devotion. That acharya is made different. They may differ in detail, but not in principle. Then you say, wait a minute, Prabhu, wait a minute. Is your guru telling you to chant the Maha Mantra in non-sankirtan? He's a Gaudiya Vaishnava, not Nimbark. He's a Gaudiya Vaishnava. Is your guru telling you to chant the holy name of Krishna? He said, yes. And is my guru telling me to chant the holy name of Krishna? He'll say, yes. So, shake hands, be friends, take some Mahaprasadam. Fight's over. There's harmony. So we should always strive for harmony. That's the whole idea of yoga, abhasyena. The daily practice of yoga is an attempt to establish harmony within our own body. Harmony between a triad. It's a triad. Body, mind, and atma. So we're trying to establish inner harmony. Find the, as our Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj used to say, we're trying to find home comfort. We're trying to find, and that means establishing harmony. And of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's magazine was called Harmonist, right? So, Mamata. So where is my Swarup Damodar, my Rupa Goswami? Where is my Srila Prabhupada? Because each disciple of Srila Prabhupada, or admirer, or follower of Prabhupada, they see Prabhupada in a particular way, according to their bhav. Mother Yashoda, she sees, he's my Lala. But your Lala is 15 years, 9 months, 7 and a half days old, according to the Sanat Kumara Samhita and other scriptures are telling the exact age of your Lala, that he's actually 15 years, 9 months, 7 and a half days, and you're saying, oh Lala, and then your breasts are flushing with milk and you're putting him on his breast. When Krishna went to Kurukshetra, Yashoda took him, put Krishna on her breast. And Krishna was how old? I think he was 50 years old, wasn't he? I think he was 50 years old when he went to Kurukshetra. Something like that. And for the solar eclipse. Now, I don't mean the battle of Bhagavad Gita, but at the time of the solar eclipse, I believe, I read one place that he was about 50 years old. So it's a little old to be sitting on your mother's breast. I think so. Is it right? But because, why? Because you're always my Lala, and I'm always your mother. I have this mamata that you are my baby. Right? You're my vatsa. She sees him in the battlefield of Kurukshetra with 10,000 elephants and armies and swords, and she says, Oh vatsa, you're here. Please come. Vatsa means, oh, calf-like boy. Vatsa is a baby guy. a small cow. Chota cow is a vatsa. Like we have the Vatsasura demon in the Krishna book. Vatsasura, some demon, Rakshash, disguised himself as a calf to mix up with Krishna and the coward boys, isn't it? One of Kamsa's buddies. Vatsasura. Oh, Vatsa. Because they're cowards. So cowards, they have their own lingo. Cowards have their own lingo, their own basha, coward basha. What's it called? Braj basha. So just like if you live in New York City and if you're a really good friend of mine, I'll say, hey, dude. Hey, dude. Or you're really bad. Bad means you're very good. So that's their own lingo. That's the Harlem lingo or the Bedford-Stuyvesant lingo. But in Braj, oh, Vatsa. And what does he say? Oh, Janani. He doesn't say, oh, Mata. Oh, Yashoda Ma. He says, oh, Janani.
like this. So this is their mamata between them. When this feeling that the great Vaishnavas in our parampara are mine, this feeling of possessiveness means mamata. So mamata for Krishna, mamata for Radharani begins with mamata for my guru, my Prabhupada. Like someone says, oh, you know, you should go and do this and that and this and that. I say, yes, your Prabhupada is inspiring you to do that. Your Prabhupada is inspiring you to do that. And you can show so much praman and so much letters and this and that. But my Prabhupada is inspiring me to do this, and I can show you so many letters and so many purports. So now, should we have a fight now? Because you're doing something different than me? Oh, but Prabhupada said, yes, and Prabhupada said here also. Oh, I have to require some consideration. So this is very, very important. Even the same guru tells two disciples two different things. Oh, brahmachari, stay brahmachari. Oh, brahmachari, get married. So my guru said, it's like this. So we have to, most of us have very, very meager and very slight relationships with our spiritual masters. We see once a year at best. We may hear every day. But somehow we have to develop. Not only that, our guru may be right in front of our eyes. See, feel, and touch. And it's a little easier to become possessive. It's easier to become possessive of something or someone you can see or touch or feel. But how to become possessive with Sri Rupa Goswami? We've never even seen him. And the only even figure or resemblance that we've ever seen of Rupa Goswami is some drawing that was done. And some people say that drawing was commissioned. I've even read recently that famous drawing that was inside the Nectar of Devotion published by BBT, Upadeshamrita. There was that drawing was printed inside the cover of Rupa Goswami. Some people are saying, I've read in different books, that Akbar, who was the emperor of this region, which he called Fakirbad, he called Vrindavan Fakir. Fakir means yogi, vairagi, renunci. He called this Fakir, like there's Hyderabad, and all these bad places where you can't find any Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Now you can, by Prabhupada's mercy and other itinerant preachers establishing Gaudiya Vaishnavism in all the bad places. So Hyderabad has so many Gaudiya Vaishnav temples, and Ahmedabad, and our god brother is there, and beautiful temple of Radha Govinda. And then there's Allahabad, and which also has it. So ISKCON has temples in a lot of bad places. So Allahabad means all are bad. No. All ha ha are bad. Allah ha ha bad. No. But the idea is that he was calling Akbar, that they say that Akbar, he called Rupa Goswami, and he had his court artist draw the picture. Now there are other historians and bona fide, Vaishnava historians of Braj, who are very respected and well-read people. They say this picture, this drawing, is a drawing of Rup Kaviraj. Rup Kaviraj is an interesting personality, but this particular Rup Kaviraj was a fakir. He was a great yogi, and there's some proof to it. And this, of course, this picture has been doctored up, but the original drawing was in the Vrindavan Research Institute, and I have seen it. If you see the original drawing, around the waist of this personality, there's a chain, a metal chain. It's a sadhu chain. It's for their kopin. And no Gaudiya Vaishnav, whether he's in the Paramahamsa stage of sannyas as a Babaji, or Rupa Goswami was never called Rupa Babaji, but that is not our line. That yogis, they wear metal chains around here, and then there's some cloth going around between the chain. There's a door, it's called door and kopin, technically. This is the undergarment of the yogi, or sannyasi, or now they call Babaji. So there's a chain there, and on his thigh it's written in Persian, in Urdu. If you can read Urdu, it says Rup Kaviraj. So, and how it became popular is that some man in 1950, a well-meaning and well-intentioned Gaudiya Vaishnava, he saw this picture and he took a picture of it. Then he made prints of it and started distributing it all over Braj in 1950. This is Rupa Goswami. And when the evidence was examined by the historians that didn't know the original piece, they said, this is not. And then I asked Narasimha Maharaj, Jagadguru or Godbrother, I said, I saw in one of your publications a picture. I said, do you know this is Rupa Kaviraj? This is some fakir, some yogi. He's not a Gaudiya Vaishnava at all. There was no tilak on the original. Tilak was painted on. And now, because I've been observing pictures of this since the last 20 years in different publications. Now I've seen pictures where even in the old pictures, you'll still see the chain. If you look, you'll see links of a chain in a scope in a picture. You know, links. You know, link is like this. One like this is called a link. If you look at new pictures, it has the same nose and, you know, like Italian nose and everything. But they've doctored it up on the computer and they've taken out the chain and made it look more like cloth. And of course, they always put tilak. If it's a Rupa Goswami picture in a Narottam Das Thakur Parampara book, then he has Narottam tilak on. If it's a Rupa Goswami picture in a Gaudiya Vaishnava and a Dvaita Parivar publication, he has a Dvaita tilak on. So this is an interesting thing. So, I don't know how I got off on the point. Does anyone remember?
How do we know Rupa Goswami?
Yes, thank you. The cameraman is hearing intensively because I tend to be a little spacey, especially the day after Ekadasi. Everything's a little upside down. So, the point we're discussing before we got sidetracked into tidbits of history. Oh, well, I didn't finish it. When I asked Jagadguru, I said, don't you know that this is Rupa Kaviraj? And he said, Maharaj, I heard that also, and it's probably right. But by now, this picture has been established. This is Rupa Goswami. And this is a perfect example of the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, where Shuka Muni is predicting that in the age of Kali, the truth will be established by how boldly or how brazenly you speak. It's like this! You know, oh, okay, it must be like that. So if you publish enough pictures and spread them out enough, people start saying, well, yeah, it's Rupa Goswami. So he said, practically for all, what's that phrase, for all matters and principle, or some phrase?
For all practical purposes.
Thank you. I'm not associating with normal people, so I can't remember. For all practical purposes, this is the exact phrase I was looking for, thank you. For all practical purposes, this drawing of Rupa Kaviraj has become Rupa Goswami from time immemorial. So we worship and accept it and keep him on your altars, worship him, pray to him. But the discussion is, 500 years ago, Rupa Goswami was here. And so how do we develop feelings of possessiveness for him? We've never seen him. We never talked to him. We never touched him. We never sat with him. This is the question, and then we'll discuss that. So, but it's a matter of actual cultivation. By applying these same principles, you can be possessive with something that you develop attachment for. First, someone gives you a gift. They give you your MP3 player. And then they say, oh, it's mine. And then the first day, if someone takes it away from you, your feelings of possessiveness have not developed so much. So you're not so much affected. So for people like Rupa Goswami and others, as we read their books over and over again, and we sing Rupa Manjripad, that bhajan, and then when we're praying, please, you are my Rupa Goswami. And then we start to become, as we read more and associate more and pray more, we become more and more attached. Because through our prayers, and through our reading, we're actually associating with Rupa Goswami. And when you associate with someone, you become attached. The brahmachari is innocently working in the kitchen. And Bhaktin Sandra has been sent in the kitchen to help. And he's just being very strict brahmachari, and pretty soon, dun 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 dun. And most Western marriages are made in a deity kitchen. This has been my 30 years observation. I would meet young Western couples. I said, "Oh, where are you from?" "I'm from Radha Madan Mohan Temple in Germany." "Acha, that's nice." "And you just got married?" "Yes, it's my husband." "Did you do service in the kitchen?" "Oh, yes." "How did you know?" "Acha, I just had an idea." And asked the husband, "And did you do service?" "No, I was a pujari, but I used to go a lot to the kitchen." So by chance, did you happen to see this young girl in the kitchen? "Maharaj, it all started over salt and pepper." It all started, our relationship started over salt and pepper. He was saying, "What happened? The salt was over here. Mataji, where's the salt being kept?" "Oh, I moved it over here." A simple phrase. But then, Dayatova Shayan Pumsam, Krishna's telling, by contemplating the object of the senses, one becomes attached, right? So, by associating, gradually attachment. So when one becomes attached to something, then the feelings of possessiveness grow more and more and more. The feelings of possessiveness grow more and more. So this is the key. And then, of course, there's a certain attitude. Do you want to be possessed or become possessive? So when we understand that, yes, this is anukul, this is favorable for my devotion to become attached to our guru, the members of our guru parampara, and it's favorable. So when we have this idea that this is something I should do, then we project this, yes, I want to possess Rupa Goswami, the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. I want to enshrine his feet in my heart. I want to worship his feet, and I want to feel his presence. I mean, some of us, older generation, we grew up with a song by George Harrison, right? "My Sweet Lord." It's beautiful because he's Madhurya Purushottam. I mean, he really picked up the point, the essence of the philosophy. You know? "My Sweet Lord," Rupa Madhuri, right? Rupa Madhuri, Vena Madhuri, Prema Madhuri, Leela Madhuri. This is Madhurya Purushottam. This is Madhurya Dham. And Madhurya Leela is the perfection of loving exchanges between Krishna and his pure devotees. So, "My Sweet Lord." Then, what are the lines of the song? And the mind, he says, "My, Mamata." We're discussing Mamata. Mamata means myness. My Sweet Lord. He could have said, "Sweet Lord, oh Sweet Lord, my Sweet Lord. I really want to see you. I really want to feel you. I really want to touch you." This is George Harrison who's just making money singing about Krishna. We're trying to make our hearts bleed for Krishna. And we don't even have this mamata. We can take gold from any place. And we have our 24 gurus. I guess George Harrison is the 25th one. Bhagavan Dattatreya, the Avadhut Brahman, who appeared to be Avadhut Brahman, is Bhagavan Dattatreya. He's teaching about the 24 gurus, the pigeon, the swan, and this and that, and the arrow maker, and this and that. So we have to make a new edition of 11th Canto. You know, then we have to add the 25th guru, George Harrison. He's teaching us Mamta. So we should have that feeling. "Rupa Goswami, I really want to see you now. I really want to feel you, touch you. Because I want to feel like you feel. You're a Manjari, you're Rupa Manjari." As we discussed, his heart is the form of Radharani's praying. "I want to feel what you feel. I'm reading your Stavamala. And I'm reading all your prayers. But I'm feeling nothing. Dry bones, like desert. I'm just, when I put my hand into my heart, when I put my hand into my heart, all I come up with is grains of sand. And I run these grains of sand through my hands and it doesn't, it's dry, it's gritty, it's rough, it's not very even pleasing to the touch for more than a minute. I just throw that sand and I reach in again and more sand. There's nothing sweet there. I don't reach into the cookie jar and come up with a Globjam and an ISKCON bullet. It's not Second Avenue and it's not 1966. And I'm not going on out for non-sakirtan. And I stick my hand in the Globjaman jar that Prabhupada conveniently left by the front door. I'm going out non-sakirtan, not so fired up. But I know the sure way to get fired up is eat two or three Globjamans. So I put my hand in the cookie jar, the Globjaman jar that Prabhupada leaves by the front door. I take a few, because all this achman and stuff wasn't so much introduced. So So I pop in a few gloves and it's okay, hari bo, hari bo, hari bo, hari bo. Right? So where are the glubjamins in our heart? The juicy, juicy, squeaky, sweet, gushy, mouth-watering, deliciously syrupy glubjamins. But they're there in the heart of Rupa Goswami, in the heart of Srila Prabhupada. We want that. We want Krishna to give Prabhupada to give us a few bullets, a few goalies, right? And in the Hindi, a bullet means goalie. So we want this feeling of mamansa for Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and our Gurudev. Many devotees are only doing archan and thinking they're doing bhajan. In Bhajan Rahasyam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching the internal practices of devotion which will quickly elevate us to bhava bhakti. Archan means to simply worship in the mechanical practice of the limbs of bhakti, all which are performed without mamata. We're chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna, what are you doing? Oh, it's some mantra, my mantra, it's good. No, this is my mantra. This is my guru mantra. My guru gave this mantra. This is my mantra. This is my Radha and Krishna. I'm glorifying my Lord. I'm praying for their mercy. They're my everything. This is my mantra. These are my beads, right? We say this is my, yeah, hey, Prabhu! Those are Radhakan beads. Get your hand off. Those are my Radhakan. I went all the way to India, got those beads. Those are my beads. Okay, they're your beads. You have mamata for your beads and your bead bag, but you don't have mamata for the people inside your bead bag. Inside your bead bag, there's 108 gopis dancing around Radha and Krishna. The head bead is not Mount Meru unless your brain is Mount Meru. Mount Meru is from a Vaidhi Sadaka. Because you can read in Mantra Shastra that the head bead of any yogi, his head bead represents Mount Meru. That's for yogi. They have their mala. If they're worshipping Durga, they have Gulab mala. If they're worshipping Shiva, they have Rudraksh mala. So their head bead, that's Mount Meru. And sometimes they say Vaishnava. But for us, for Gaudiya Vaishnava, who's the head? Who's in charge? The head bead, that, you know the head bead, the middle, the top one, you don't cross over. That's Radha and Krishna and 108 gopis. But do we have the feeling these are my gopis? This is my Radha and Krishna. So when we're chanting with this mood of possessiveness, then the archan becomes bhajan. Because heart is applied. Deep thinking and submission is applied in the heart, this feeling. This is, archan turns into bhajan when there's possessiveness. Possessiveness, mamta. And that possessiveness is introduced and applied to our practices of devotion. We have to make this offering and put tulsi leaves in every preparation, and we have to chant these mantras: idam navedyam, idam ana vyanjana mishna paniyajalam navedyam, sring klim vara krishna bhyam namaha, and we ring the bell and we chant and kam gayatri or gaur gayatri, and we make some offering of bhog offering. And maybe we make some dahlias, some porridge, some cereal, hot cereal in the winter. And it's really hot. We just put it on. We put it on. Here, Krishna, take. Because there's no mamata. We're not thinking, this is my Krishna. You know, and it's cold. And we didn't actually look to see. There's one pastime where, because Chandravali and Radharani, they were, according to Indian, you can say, social customs, they were considered to be sisters. And according to Western family understanding, they would be cousins. The father of Radharani is Brishabhanu. The father of Chandravali is Chandrabhanu. Chandrabhanu and Brishabhanu are brothers. So she would be a cousin, as far as I understand. But cousins in India are considered, they're sisters. They sleep together, eat together, they do everything together. So Radharani, on one level, Radharani and Chandravali were like this. But when it came to Krishna, there was a little difference of opinion. Or a difference of bhav. Wasn't it so much a difference of opinion? There's only one Krishna, and there's Chandravali, which is only, she's only the avali. She's only like a roe, or you can say, because Radharani is Bhanu. So if you have the sun, you must have the moon. Bhanu means sun. She's Vrishabhanunandini. So sun and moon are very much related. The sun serves in the day, the moon serves in the night. There's Bhanu and Chandra. So Chandravali is just another aspect of the sun. The moon is another aspect of the sun. Prabhupada explained the moon is reflecting the light of the sun. So Chandravali is simply the reflecting the light of Radharani's bhava in a particular way. So Radharani is the sun, the sunshine of all the bhavas. So she shines onto her sister, and her sister reflects in a certain way, not as Bhanu, but as Chandra and Vali, because Vali means row after row of lights, or row of bhavas. So she has her own bhavas. It's called Dakshin Bhav. And then hers is Bhamya Bhav. So this is some explanation of Chandravali. So in terms of very sweet explanation. So the pastime is like this. We're discussing Mamata. Archan with Mamata, and Archan, which is actually Bhajan, and then Archan without Mamata, which is, Puja without Mamata, which is just Archan. One day, Vrishabhanu Maharaj took his daughter, Vrishabhanu Nandini, Srimati Radhika, and he went to visit his brother to his palace of Chandrabhanu. And it was winter time, it was night, and Chandravali, she wanted to make something for her sister, so she prepared some hot milk. And it was very nicely made. It was some masala inside, some badam, some almonds, and some elaichi, and very nice winter type spice milk. It's very, very hot, boiling hot. So Radharani, she took the cup and immediately drank it because it's off from her sister. Oh, here's some hot milk, Radharani. Take some hot milk. She drank it. It was scalding hot. It was boiling hot. So what happened? Radharani's lips, the roof of Radharani's mouth and her lips, they became scalded. They became burned. And exactly the moment that Radharani was drinking this milk, it was Pradosh Leela, and Krishna was watching some entertainment in Nandagaon. Some jokers and some jugglers and some panegyrists and poets reciting the histories of the Yadava dynasty and all these type of entertainments in the royal theater in Nanda Baba's palace. And Krishna was sitting there laughing and enjoying. All of a sudden, Nanda Maharaj, what's wrong? Oh, my lips are burning. Krishna's lips were burned, and his mouth was burned. Why? Because his Priyaji was drinking boiling hot milk in Chandrabhanu's palace, given by Chandravali, and whatever happens to Radharani immediately happens to Krishna. So then, that night, Krishna was supposed to meet with Radharani, as usual, but somehow he got lost, he lost his way, and he ended up in the kunj of Chandravali. And when he got in Chandravali's kunj, he said, "My lord, what has happened to your lips? They're blistered. There's blisters on your lips." He said, "Oh, you have done this." You did this to Radharani. And Radharani and I are the same. We are one. Ek Atma Dui Deha. We are one Atma in two bodies. There's no difference between the two of us. You gave her hot milk, and you didn't have any mamata. You didn't have any feelings of possession. You did archan. You didn't do bhajan. You're serving a prasadam. You serve prasadam. Because it was offered to Narayan deity first. You served Narayan prasadam, hot milk to Radharani. But you did archan. You didn't do bhajan. There was no mamata. You weren't thinking, "Well, this is my Radharani. This is my sister. I should check to make sure that this milk is not too hot. Everything, it was hot milk and this and that. I should have checked it first or cooled it off with a banana leaf. I should have fanned it until it was just exactly the right temperature to drink. Not too hot, not too cold. Here, take this milk." Take the milk means take it. Okay, take this milk, Radharani. So she took it. No mamata. So we make some cereal or porridge for our Thakur. And we're doing archan. Oh, it's made. That's right. Put it in Thakurji's bowl. Here. Boom. Boiling hot. No one can eat it. You can't put your finger in it. You can't even, if you put your finger above the porridge, the dalia, you just, whoa. You don't think, "Well, wait a minute. My lord, this is my Krishna, my vatsa. He's a young boy, or he, It should be just exactly right. So when the mind and heart are mixed, when the mind and heart are mixed with the principle of mamata and applied to the service of Krishna, then we have what is called bhajan. And of course we will pick up, as we said in the beginning of the discussion, we pick up such a mind and heart by reflection with advanced devotees such as Rupa Goswami and others. I should go on. Any questions? It's okay.
Yes.
So, let's see. So, the feeling of mamata is essential for bhajan. Bhajan rahasyam is not a solo game. We need association of advanced Vaishnavas and heart's connection with them to do real bhajan. When Narottam Das sings Ye Anila Premadan, he's really feeling separation. He's really feeling. He's not some poet writing a nice imagery or some metaphor. Oh, I want to break my head. I want to crush my head with a stone. I'm feeling so much pain in my head. My head. I have a migraine headache. I have an intense migraine headache out of separation. So I want to smash my head with a stone to get some relief because the pain of the migraine is so great. Maybe the pain of the stone will counteract it, and I'll get relief by smashing my head. That's what he's saying. Is the pain of but he really feels this way. So when we sing this song by Narottam, we say, Narottam, I don't feel anything. As I said, my heart is great. My heart is a sandy desert. So please, can you please bless me with some of these feelings? Please bless me with just one drop of this viraha bhav, with this mamata. You have so much attachment to them, so much feelings of possession for them, that you want to crack your feeling out. I'm not feeling. Yeah, Neil, I'll pray. Yeah, okay, Rupa and Raghunath, all glories to you. Where are these great souls? Because without advanced Vaishnava association, we can't progress on the Bhakti Marg. Alone we can chant, remember, do puja, read, so many things. But where will this bhav come from? All the Shastras proclaim, Sarasanga, Sarasanga, Sarashastra Hoy, Lavamacha Sarasanga, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Only a few moments of associating with a Vaishnava. What does that mean? I sat with a Vaishnava, or I heard a class. Even if you hear a class or sit with a Vaishnava, it doesn't mean association. Association means when you bring your heart to the class. Usually when we go to see a Vaishnava or the Thakurji in the temple, we bring something in our hand, a few grains of rice, a flour, box of sweets, or something. This is the etiquette. But really it's symbolic. Really it's symbolic. Really in our hands there should be a pushpanjali of our hearts. We should be carrying our hearts in our hands when we go to meet the Vaishnavas and say, oh Vaishnav Thakur, oh Gurudev, oh Shiksha Guru, oh Diksha Guru, oh great devotee. Here's my offering. I'm sorry, I didn't bring a flower. I didn't bring a box of sweets. I don't have any money. I can't afford. I didn't see any flowers. There's not that many flowers here or there. And it's not like the West where you can steal them. There's not that many around. And they're all locked up behind somebody's wall. In the West, we just go everywhere. So I'm coming to you, but I have something that's dear to me and near to me. Dear and near to me. I have my heart in my hands and I'm bringing it. And I'm offering it at your feet as Arpanam. Guru Arpanam. I'm worshipping you with this. I'm giving you that. And if we have that type of mood of offering our heart, then the Vaishnava, he will accept and mix his heart with our heart. And then whatever is in his heart, that mamata will come. So this is how we should approach the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari. We should, when we sing Rupa Manjari Pad, we should be offering our heart in our hands at the feet of Rupa Goswami. And praying, please bless me that I become attached to you. That you become, what a song we sing every day, Rupa Manjari. You're my pran. You're my life force, my pran, the object and aim and object of my bhajan. You're my everything. You're my meditation. But it's all external. So, we must associate with pure Vaishnavas and cultivate the conceptions of our Guru Varg. When we meet devotees, we ask, how are you passing your time? And the reply says, I'm doing bhajan. But what is real bhajan? There's three types of bhajan. Kanishta, Madhyam, and Uttam. The neophyte, Kanishta, the beginning devotee, he has some faith. And he has a bona fide guru. And he's trying to surrender. And he's moving towards steadiness. Nectar Devotion lists 64 angas of bhakti, including archa, which we're discussing. And then Prahlad Maharaj, he summarizes the 64 as 9, and includes archan as one limb. But bhajan is complete devotional service. We can't equate bhajan with archan. We generally think archan means worshipping and serving the deity. But sometimes service to the deity can also be bhajan. One who's doing archan is still identifying with the material body. These are some of these symptoms of one who is actually doing archan. One who is worshipping a deity, Shalagram Shila, Govardhan Shila, Gornitai, Radhan Krishna. He's on the bodily platform. He's identifying. He says, yes, I'm so-and-so dasi, I'm so-and-so das, or so-and-so maharaj, or whatever. He's rendering devotional service, but with knowledge that, yes, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, Sadaishvarya Purna. He's complete in six qualities. Strength, beauty, knowledge, wealth, renunciation. He's the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. The Sarva Shaktiman, Sarva Avatari. These considerations all come under the category of Aishvarya Gyan Yukta Bhakti. This is a fancy term. But it means that our devotion is linked with yukta, is linked with or mixed with lots of knowledge, which is good. Tattva Gyan is very important. But the knowledge of this, of the omnipotence and the greatness, the Aishvarya aspect of the Lord. This is the beginning devotee. Bhakti with knowledge of Krishna's opulence and majesty. This is the path of archan. It's filled with maryada. We have to observe etiquette in deity seva. It's impossible to cook a preparation for a deity, eat it first, and then offer to the deity. To string a flower mala and first wear it and say, oh yeah, this is quite good. This will look nice on Krishna. Krishna, take this. Or when we offer anything to the deity, we must follow rules and regulations. There's Sadachara, 16 articles, how do you say that? Sadasa upachara. That means 16, sodas. 6 and 10. 16 articles and bija mantras, which we were discussing. Bija mantras are offered. We offer everything to the deity with bija mantras. Idam masanam, klim giridharaya namaha. Please sit down, Giriraj. Idam pushpam, please take a flower, Giriraj. Idam navedyam, please take some boga. By mantras, we offer everything to the deity. All the ingredients of puja are offered with mantra. This is the path of archan, archan marg. Does Srimati Radharani chant bija mantras before she offers some rasgulas to Krishna? Idam navedyam mistana, klim shamasurandaya namaha, klim govindaya namaha. She does it. Oh, this is very nice, and she gives it to Krishna. Just like they say, there's two ways to eat a glovjaman, right? There's the Radharani Dara, Bhojan Dara. There's the Radharani Bhojan Dara, and there's Shamasundar Bhojan Dara. The line of eating coming from Radharani, and the line of eating coming from Krishna, Shamasundar, right? So there's two ways to eat a glovjaman. So we'll do some investigation here, how you eat a glovjaman. Actually, it's a rasgulla. I made a mistake. It's a rasgulla. do you eat a rasgulla in Radharani's parampara, or do you eat a rasgulla in Krishna's parampara? We have to find out. When Krishna eats a rasgulla, he takes a rasgulla. Radharani, well, that's another thing. But he takes it from Radharani's hand, and then he puts it the whole thing in his mouth. As we know, our Prabhupada is famous for firing sweets into his mouth. This is described in Leelamrita, and some have seen it. Prabhupada would get some sweet, some ladu or mahaprasad, and from the table he would take it. And I can remember as a brahmachari in LA, because Prabhupada had just had his lunch over there, upstairs, and devotees were, maybe it was Shruti Kirti, whoever was the secretary then, he said, I saw Prabhupada, I was sitting there serving him, I saw him eat like this. He got some ladus, from the table, and the plate was on the table with the bowl, and he took the louder one. He didn't bring it up here and or drop it like this one, like a baseball player or something, just, right in. So when we heard that, more sporting type brahmacharis, it's, wow, Prabhupada's beautiful. That's wonderful. What a way to eat the sweets. So then when we were sitting down at a Sunday feast one time, we said, let's try to eat like Prabhupada. Anukaran, right? Imitation. So then the brahmacharis ran a contest to see who could fire the ladus, and so, or the glovesmans or whatever. And so some people were more sportsman type, so they were, some were landing in the eye, this, that. Some were going over the shoulder. I know brahmacharis are a little frisky and, frivolous. So Krishna, when he gets his rasgulla from Radharani, he simply fires it into his mouth, just like Prabhupada was doing. And maybe Prabhupada was, not maybe, when Prabhupada is taking his lunch, he's thinking, oh, it's 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock now, I'm taking my lunch. And Radharani and Krishna are having some snack at Radhakund, some sweets have been sent there from Yashoda Ma, and from Yashoda Ma, Rohini has sent some sweets with Dinishta, and some sweets are also coming from Radharani with Vrindadevi and Rupa Manjari, some nice sweets. And so Krishna would fire into his mouth. So this particular time, so Prabhupada's meditating on that at 1 o'clock when he's taking his prasadam. So then he wasn't frivolous. It wasn't that Prabhupada was exhibiting frivolous behavior. He was absorbed. Because Prabhupada would always eat in total silence, because this is one of the principles of bhajan, is to eat in total silence, although some people propagate other systems. But he would eat in total silence. Because one is supposed to be meditating on the particular lila at that time and Krishna taking bhojan at that particular time. So obviously Srila Prabhupada was Shiradika Madhavayora Para Madhurya Lila Guna Rupanam Nam Praktikshanashva Dhanalulapasya Praktiksha Ashva. This means at moment to moment, the Madhurya Bhaktas, the Prema Bhaktas are absorbed in the path, their mind and hearts are there. When we were college students, sometimes we would experiment with different herbs and spices. And then the young people would say to each other, are you there? and then and we would say, I'm there. Are you there? So this is the pure devotee. He's there. His mind and heart are always there, absorbed in Radhika Madhav. Radha Madhav is a very favorite name of Prabhupada's deities in Mayapur and his Ishtadev. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari. Prabhupada's sitting in Los Angeles. We're in Los Angeles. We're his disciples. But Prabhupada's heart, even Prabhupada said in Path of Perfection, don't think I'm sitting in a New York apartment. I'm in Vrindavan. Right? There's a famous quote from the yoga lecture series I put in Path of Perfection. So Prabhupada's meditating in his lila at 1 o'clock, and he's firing a sweet, and he's smiling, and he's thinking, oh Krishna, you're so dear Lalita. He's totally, he's in another world. He's in the world, the real world. Nityadam, Anandam, Madhuryadam, Sridam, Vrindavan. Krishna fires the rasgulla into his mouth, and then the whole thing, and he bites it. And he's not following Amy Vanderbilt or any laws of etiquette. And when he bites it, his mouth may be a little bit open. So then juice squeezed, goes, psh, the juice of the rasgulla, he bites it and it goes, psh, goes out. When Radharani, when Krishna gives a rasgulla to Radharani, Radharani takes it. And she puts it in her left hand, because right hand, left hand is all pure. She puts it in her left hand very demurely and very aristocratically and sweet and beautifully and gently. She takes a little piece off. Krishna Dara Amrita. The nectarine taste of Krishna's sweet, sweet lips. Bimbadara. Like their bimba adara means lips, and bimba, red like a red pomegranate, red like a red bimba fruit. She's relishing. Very neat. Very clean, very dainty, or you could say beautifully. A Krishna is like And Radharani's but that's of course nectar also. But. So which parampara are you in? Are you in Radha's Raskula Parampara? Are you in Krishna's Raskula Parampara? How do you eat your Raskula? Swamiji? We have to show our respect to our senior. Actually, he's a yogi, doesn't he? These are confidential things. At any rate, this is Krishna. This is dear Lalita Nayak. So the point we're making about bhajan, Radharani, sometimes she takes some sweet, or the coward boys, oh, my mother made something nice. Krishna, this is really nice. Take it. There's no mantra. There's no bija mantra. This is bhajan. It's not that, but I'm not, of course, we're not advocating. Yes, we should imitate. Let me eat. Oh, this is good. Krishna, have some. But there's this mood of intimacy. And now, this is some interesting point. What's the time?
4:50.
50. I'm sure. Rather slow progress here. I hope no one's in a hurry. Because it's a little bit free form, it's some kind of direction is there, but we seem to be stumbling on the path and not making very steady progress on this particular outline path here. There's some potholes in my paper. So, does Srimati Radharani chant bija mantras before giving a raskula or tambula to Krishna? Idam tambulam. There's no time for Radharani to chant a bija mantra. It takes some time to say idam tambulam kling Krishnaya namaha. Because as soon as Rupa Mantri, she has a beautiful little golden box that's shaped like a pomegranate and has jewels and everything. As soon as she opens it up and it's full of beautiful tambulbati, pieces of folded over leaf, beautiful bite-sized triangular shaped pieces of tambul, palm leaf and betel and everything, and spices and coconut and lychee, so many things. And as soon as she opens it up, she puts it in the hand of Radharani, and Radharani just turns to offer it to Krishna, and Krishna, oh, thank you! Or sometimes, if Krishna is really in a frivolous mood, when Radharani turns to hand it to him, he just takes her hand. He takes her hand and he kisses her hand and he swallows the tumble and kisses her hand at the same time. There's no time. He sees the tumble because Krishna, practically speaking, he eats about 360 pieces of tumble a day. I mean, it's just a guess. I haven't counted. But every time he's swinging, because in Julan, for example, we had a Julan out here with Radha and Giridhari. When Julan's going on, every time the swing goes like this, as you know, a swing goes like this and like that. When he goes back like this, he's eating a piece of pan, Lalita's giving. And when it comes this way, he gets another piece. And then he goes back, and he gives that to Radharani, or spits it out the back, and some sucky catches it like a high ball in center field or something. Oh, thank you. And then he comes, and he swings back again and has another piece. So one piece, one piece, one piece, one piece. So if you swing for a half an hour, how many pieces of tumble is that? One every 5 seconds, no? Well, how long does it take a swing to go like this? 5 seconds? 3 seconds?
Second.
Second? So there you go. That's when he's swinging fast, right? Because he does that too. So every second he's having a piece of tambul, 60 pieces a minute. Right? The Adi Agrawal, right? Krishna's the Adi Purush and the Adi Agrawal. Every Agrawal has a wad of pan in his lip. Oh, 25 rupees. 10 rupees. Oh. Like one time I was in Delhi, I said, you know, I realized that the subcontinent of India has a new language. There's Hindi and Bengali, and there's another language called Pan Basha. There's Braj Bhasha, and there's another language spoken especially in Mathura amongst businessmen, the Agarwals. It's called Pan Bhasha. Shooting stars of Tambo, right? Red stars. Oh, India, with all thy faults, how I love you. Either I'm crazy or I'm in love. Or both. I came to this place a few years ago, and somehow I'm stuck over here. I can't move off with all the pond and everything else. Please forgive me for the lack of sobriety. It's like nature is as it is, so it's very difficult to change nature. This stage called Archan, wherein a devotee... Oh, this is interesting, because this particular mindset that many devotees have that worship deities, they think, they equate this with Rag Bhakti, or they even equate this with spontaneous devotion, or very high levels of devotion. Now listen to this. Sometimes devotees are doing archan. The devotee may think when he's worshipping his deity, oh, it's very cold today. I'm so cold. So maybe my Thakurji, he must be cold. What they're feeling, the devotee's thinking that the deity is feeling, and he thinks foolishly that this is spontaneous devotional service. Oh, it's very hot. I'm really thirsty. I've drunk 10 cups of water. I better offer 10 more cups of water to Krishna. Yet all these acts are done in the context of bodily identity. You know, we're thinking of our body, and then he's like this. I mean, we're very hot. We're very hot. We're drinking all this water at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in May or June in Vrindavan. And Krishna is in the middle of Radhakund, surrounded by thousands of gopis in the middle of a water battle at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He's cool. He's cool and refreshed. And there's us all around him. He's surrounded by air conditioners, and he's getting a beautiful cold water bath. And there's a gentle breeze blowing. There's a cloud. Beautiful clouds have covered the sun like an umbrella to protect the face of their friend Krishna. He's feeling completely relaxed, and we're thinking, oh, Krishna must be very hot, and my deity must be very hot, let me offer him. Because our mind and heart are not merged in the lila. We may be thinking, actually, if we were on the level of bhajan, we're thinking, oh, Krishna needs some support. I should start a kirtan because Krishna, I should start cheering for Krishna because he's getting bombarded by all the sakis. There's water in his eyes and nose and everything. And he looks like he's going to get defeated in this water battle. Hare Krishna. Someone says, what are you doing? You know, I'm doing bhajan. I'm cheering for Krishna that he gets his strength back and starts to defeat the gopis. He rallies a what do they call it? When you attack again, the enemy rallies a counter. He rallies a counter offensive against the devotees, right? Counter offensive it's called. Counter attack. So I want to cheer. I'm cheering for him, but of course, personally, we wouldn't be doing that. We'd be cheering for Radharani. more, Aniyor, more water. Knock off his Makara Kundala, and that'll give me an opportunity for service. Because if you throw enough water, I'm on the bank. I'm cheering Radharani more. Knock off his Makara Kundala, and then when everybody comes out of the water, I'll have to dive in and look for it. And then I'll get some service, and then I can go to Sham. Sham, does this look familiar? That's mine. Can't have it. You can't. Hey, Manji, hey, Saki, give me that thing. No, my Swamini said not to give it to you unless I get something. Hey, what is this? Some kind of business, or what is this? No, I want something. If you want this, see, look, you have to give something. What do you want? I want Radharani Prasadi Pan. And I know you have some tucked in your dhoti. I see a little bulge there. There's a little bulge underneath your dhoti right there. I know that you've taken some tambul from Radharani and you stashed it like a brahmachari. You stashed that tambul in the folds of your dhoti. I can see it. So if you want this Makara Kundala, give over the stash. So this is called bhajan. So see, there's some difference. One's identifying with the spiritual body, and with the heart and mind, and with the lila, and the actual needs of the day. You're thinking, it's 2 o'clock, and the need of the day, oh, my Thakurji must be so hot. I need air conditioner and air cooler and this, that, and everything. And you go in some Babaji's kutir, there's no air cooler, there's no fan maybe, and nothing. And it's sweltering hot. And he's absorbed in bhajan. And his deity is smiling, his deity is so effulgent, so happy looking. And you're thinking, what, I'm sweating. Doesn't he should get an air conditioner for his deity. He's so insensitive. He's not very sensitive for a deity. He should have an air conditioner in the deity room so the pujaris can keep cool. You know? but I've never seen such an attractive deity and such a beautiful Giriraj. What is he offering? What is he offering to him? And when he offered me Mahaprasadam, he gave me a piece of misery with a tulsi leaf. And all that's all he offers, a piece of mystery with a tulsi leaf. But he offers chapan bhog in his manasi seva. And it's like this. So, at the stage of archan, the devotee has no sambandhan gyan. He doesn't understand his relationship with the deity. He doesn't understand this relationship. And gradually, by association, this knowledge, this awareness comes, and also our mood changes. Nectar Devotion says that we should serve the Guru with Vishrambena Gurur Seva. Is it five?
Yes, sir.
Acha. So tomorrow we'll continue, and we should start verse 1 tomorrow, hopefully, and discuss, because this is all, right now, what we're discussing is the principle of Mamata. And how, because this is the key point which turns archan into bhajan. And then the bhajan can become very confidential and very successful and very powerful and reveal all the secrets of the heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, bhajan rahasyam. So the runway is rather long. So our planes are on the runway. We're not in the air. But sometimes a big airplane requires a long runway to get off the air. So this is a rather huge intercontinental, intergalactic airline we're trying to launch here. So the runway is longer than I anticipated because of the pilots a little bit tipsy or something. So he starts down one runway and he ends up on somebody else's runway. Hey, get off my runway, you're on the wrong runway. Oh, excuse me. And so please bear with the pilot, fasten your seatbelts, take some refreshments. So thank you very much for coming. If there's any questions or comments for a minute or two.
Maharaj, you're mentioning about just the deity. There's a story of Madhavendra Puri. He's ordered by the deity to, he's feeling hot.
Mm.
He has to travel so hard to go all the way to Orissa and get the chandan.
Mm.
And then supply to
Gopinath.
Excuse me?
Actually, he was going to Burma even, and he's stuck in Orissa.
Yes, yes. So there's such a hard endeavor on the devotee who's a Mahabhagavat in one sense, surely. And there are so many other stories where the deity is feeling cold, he says, you know, put me a blanket. He hears those stories, and the deity is hungry, or the deity is thirsty.
Yes, that's beautiful, because everything you're saying reinforces the point that we're discussing of the Mamata. That the feeling, that these liberated souls, these pure devotees, these premi bhaktas of the Lord, they have such feelings of love for the Lord that the Lord lives in their Govinda Vishram, that Govinda sleeps in their heart and Govinda sleeps in their mind. So they're at such a level that when they're dreaming, they're not dreaming, they're with Krishna. And Krishna is saying, I'm hot, so get me this thing. So he's really trying to teach many, many things he's teaching. But at that level, at that level of devotion, the Lord will manifest in the mind and give orders to do something. Because he wants to also teach something of the glories of the devotee. Because in this story, this is in the chapter called Pure Devotional Service. So he's trying to teach some principles of pure devotional service through the example of Madhavendra Puri. So one quality is, he has so much mamata for the Lord that the Lord comes in his mind. What do we dream about? Do we have so much? Just like if you're possessed, if you have so much mamata for your husband or wife, then you dream about husband and wife. Or previous mamata, possessive feelings for previous associates or friends, they come in the mind. But he has so much mamata for Krishna that Krishna comes in his mind. So that's one level. And the other level is to show that the devotee, because he loves Krishna so much, he'll go to any extent to please him, externally or internally. So we as sadhak, not even really sadhakas, but let's say as neophyte practitioners, we can only understand reality that we can see. So he showed an example to the world, externally surrendering, endeavoring so hard to serve his beloved Lord. So for all of us, it was to show all of us that I'm willing to take this much endeavor to break my back to carry 80 pounds of sandalwood from Puri to Vrindavan. Wasn't it Vrindavan yet?
And Maharaj, but if we get these feelings, you're saying it's only on the sentimental platform?
Naturally. Not even sentiments. It's only on the speculative platform. It's only thinking. It's only mental. I think, oh, I am hot. This is thing. Sentiments is something good. Sentiments, at least, is coming from the heart. It's mostly, I'm really hot. I think we're not actually feeling that Krishna's hot. We're not really feeling. Then it will really be mamata. Then it will really be bhajan.
But if it's really hot, if it's really cold, why do we make, other shamsunas or blankets, and if it's really cold?
Because this is archan. Archan follows rules and regulations, so we do it. It's not.
So I'm cold, that's why Radha Shamsunda should wear a blanket. Cold is according to me.
Yes. So because you're on the bodily platform, then you think that Krishna's on your platform, so you're worshipping Krishna according to your platform. That's the projection.
Yes, actually, we have to live according as the Kandyamiya.
Excuse me?
We have to live according as the Kandyamiya.
Yeah, bhajan means bhajan. That we're in Krishna's world. It's never too... What do you read in Brahma Samhita? Brahma had a peak. Brahma peaked into the spiritual world. There are no air conditioners there. There's some indication in Bhagavatam. It's the ideal place. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. Everything is only there for you can say the stimulus of the love of Radha and Krishna, sun, and all these things. Because just like Krishna stepping on thorns and the gopis are worried, but there's no thorns in Vrindavan when Krishna's here. And even Acharyas say if there were thorns, as soon as Krishna's foot approaches them, the thorn turns into butter. Because every object is Chintamani. So the gopis will see thorns because they were out in the field. They said, I saw some thorns. I think Krishna's stepping on the thorns. So the thorns appeared so to create that bhava in the gopis, that possess that mamata and that worry and that concern. So they see thorns. And then when Krishna comes, the so-called thorns turn into butter. If they even were there. This is the magical, mystical nature of the Brajadam. So the... Maharaj, would you like to add something to this point?
That seems clear.
It's a question. We can ask a question on the delivery. Rather, we don't want to like create a whole new dimension here. You have a question on the delivery?
It's just a beautiful story from the mind of the Mayapur that confirms what you've been saying.
You can tell?
One evening he was in the dairy room and the guy came and he gave him milk and he put in hot milk.
Who is this? I didn't hear them.
Jananivas.
Yeah, the head, our god brother, Jananivas.
Yeah.
The twins, Pakajangri and Jananivas.
Yeah.
Head Pajari.
And as Pajari walked by with the late nightly offering, Jananivas, just by looking at the milk, he said, this is far too hot, you cannot offer this milk. So I said, yes, yes. And he went through to the chambers and he offered it anyway. About 5 minutes later, there was a huge crash from inside the dairy room. Jananivas came out and said, what's happening? And the judge said, I didn't follow what you said, I offered mother with a milk. Mother had knocked it off the table.
He kicked it off. He was advised by the head pujari, Jananivas, the assistant pujari. The hot milk you're offering to Thakurji, Madhav, Lord Madhav, it's way too hot. It's steaming, boiling hot. It's not appropriate. And then he said, ah, koi baat nahi, chalega. So he walked right by, and he went in the temple room and just put it there. And then he came out, he rang the bell, came out, and all of a sudden there's a big crash. Boom! Johnny asked, what's that? And he went in, and the pujari said, oh. Because what happened, he put the cup there, and then Madhav didn't like it. He kicked it, knocked it off. In other words, he didn't accept it. It was unacceptable to him. Everything should be done thoughtfully and then very deeply with deep thinking and deep feeling, but ultimately then we have to go to this level of Krishna's eternal pastimes. And we have to develop this feeling of possessiveness. And we just have a little bit more on this Vishrambena Gaur Seva idea. Okay, but... No, you can ask me later, because she came from Vrindavan. Yeah. No, this, and Archan, we should think, that's why when we're doing Archan, we're thinking in terms of a bodily level, on the level of the body. So it's too hot. So it's too hot for me, so it's too hot for Madhav. But if we're on that level, when you're on the level of actual bhajan and meditating on lila, then this is a high level, because basically bhajan, it begins on the level of, you can say, a sakti. Really bhajan and bhava. But on that level, then, you know, Krishna will dictate, I want really, really hot milk, and then you'll serve, or I want ice cold milk in the winter, whatever, and you offer that. But on this level, we're kind of up, it's archan. Archan has rules. The prasad should be hot, should offer seasonal fruits, this, that, the other thing. Offer kumbhal in the winter, offer some, they offer charcoal in the winter in the temples in Vrindavan, they have some heating arrangement. This is all in the scriptures of deity worship. This is archan. Basically, bhajan is on the mind level, on the heart level, and then mixing with the Astakali Lila, which is, because this is the whole underlying point of the book, is to bring everyone to this level of bhajan. And that's what bhajan is. Bhajan is of that world, and archan is of this world, but archan can become bhajan, as I said. The archan we're doing can become bhajan when it's mixed with these different elements of mamata, and then overlaying the Astakali Lila with our archan, with our puja. So I think we should stop there, because devotees have to go to Vrindavan, especially, and it's getting late.
This one point about Radha Madhava, you spoke that they are the Ishtadev of Srila Prabhupada.
One of them, Radha Govinda also.
I know a very beautiful Vaishya, maybe you know him, Pakhe Mohan. He explained something very beautiful, that there are also Bhaktivinoda Thakur Desi.
Yeah.
And that Srila Prabhupada was crying for that every day, and they came. Every year they're coming to Vrindavan.
Oh, yeah.
And they stay at the feet of Shyama Sundara.
Bhaktivinoda, it's Radha Madhava.
To say that there are Radha Madhava, they are also there.
Because Prabhupada said, Mayapur is my place of worship, I think, I may be remembering rightly. He said, Srila Prabhupada said, Bombay is my office, Mayapur is my place of worship, and Sri Vrindavan is my home. So, worship means who is your Ishtadev, means your worship, it's called Aradhya Dev, or Aradhya Devi. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas Srinath Chakravarti wrote that verse to summarize teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Radhya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayos, the son of Brajendranandan. Brajendranandan, and he's our Aradhya, Aradhanam. He's our worshipful Lord. So, the Mayapur is the place of Prabhupada's worship. So, who is the Lord that he worships in Mayapur? Radha Madhav. So, we can say on that basis, since he's telling us, this is my place of worship, so that means that Radha Madhav are his Aradhya Dev. Although his family deity and his personal deity that he traveled with to New York was Radha Govinda. And when he established a temple in New York, he established it in the name of Radha Govinda. Then when he returned to Calcutta in India in the 70s and established a temple in his hometown, he established the deities of Radha Govinda. And when he used to stand as a child in front of deities and for hours on end, admiring the beauty and sweetness and who knows what else he was thinking about, the deities of the Muluk family were also the beautiful deities of Radha Govinda. Because Radha Govinda, there's Teen Thakur described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says Teen Thakur Prabhu. And those Teen Thakur, the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, are the Avideya Thakur and the Sambandha Thakur and the Priyojana Thakur. The Teen Thakur are Madan Mohan for Sambandha, Radha Govinda for Abhideya, and Radha Gopinath for Prayojana. So the Gaudiya Vaishnav, main you can say, preaching or sadhana
deities, Sadhana Bhakti Thakurji, or Sadhana Thakur for the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, is Radha Govinda. If you go in any Bengali house, a Gaudiya Vaishnava, and they have Radha and Krishna, you say, what are the names of the deity? Every single person, practically without end, will say Radha Govinda. Because this is Rupa Goswami's deity, Radha Govinda. And Rupa Goswami is the teacher of all the principles of sadhana bhakti. Raghunuga sadhana, Vaidhi sadhana, Bhava bhakti, etc. So Prabhupada was very much connected with Radha Govinda, but then we can think like this, that his personal Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari and Radha Madhava, that Radha Madhava is the Aradhya Dev of Srila Prabhupada. Personal Aradhya Dev. This we can say. But we could also, it's kind of like Lord Chaitanya would establish an argument in one way, then he would take the argument and turn it around and defeat it in another at the same time. So we could also establish Radha Govinda as Prabhupada's deity. This is, of course, Mayapur Vasis would certainly like to stick with this presentation of the Aradhya, Prabhupada's Aradhya Dev, his motto. I'm more of the Radha Govinda mind, because when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, the first place he stayed at was near the Rangaji temple, which is not in Leelamrita, but he stayed near Rangaji temple before he went to Vamshi Gopal and then to Radha Damodar. But he stayed near there, and he used to go every single day to Radha Govinda temple and to Radha Raman and to Radha Damodar. And when he was in Govindaji temple, the Bajaris there, they saw and they witnessed in the early 60s, that Prabhupada used to be so much crying. And the last place that Prabhupada went to before he went to Bombay, then he went to Calcutta for the Jaladutta, he went to Jayapur, to Radha Govindaji, and spent 1 week there. He lived 1 week in that house there. They point out the kutir and the property, where Prabhupada stayed for one entire week absorbing the mercy of Radha Govinda. So, definitely. But then you read Marking Bhagavad Dharma, Prabhupada's prayer when he's on the boat after two heart attacks. He's not calling out to Radha Madhava. He's not calling out to Radha Govinda. He's calling out to Radha Damodar. The word Damodar is in the prayer. Oh, Radha Damodar, I'm so far from my Lord. I'm so far from my Vrindavan. I'm so far from my lordships, Radha Damodar. So Prabhupada is a little bit mysterious sometimes. Because they're all different moods of love. They're all the same. The Aradhya Deva of Prabhupada is the Aradhya Deva for every Gaudiya Vaishnava. Radha Govinda Yugo, Radha Madhava Yugo, Radha Krishna Yugo. Nothing more, nothing less. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki. Yeah, thank you. I'm a little impatient myself.